We know that he was regarded as a very distinguished artist in Belgium, and these are among works that we've had to lend for exhibitions in Belgium from time
when
to time.
When war broke out in 1914, more than a million Belgians fled their homes. Hundreds of miles away in Paris, the wealthy Davis family dug deep into its pockets, helping to bring around 100 men, women and children to the Welsh countryside. Mary Oldham is the librarian at Gwyddonog Hall, the home later owned by Gwendolyn and Margaret Davis.
This really was their first great project when war broke out. But they also had an aim in view. They thought that if they could encourage artists to come and settle in Wales, that would be a great boost to the creative arts in Wales itself. George Minnie and his family ended up living in Llanidloes. An artist called Valerius de Sedelier ended up living in a house in Aberystwyth, and other artists.
I've come now to the house lived in by de Sedelier on the outskirts of Aberystwyth. The house, Tin Lawn, seems to have barely changed since the artist lived here. Its current owner is Anthony Evans.
The room we're sitting in here was his studio, and we know that because one of his works of art is called From My Studio. And it's this lovely view that we have out the window here towards Pendennis and the sea.
How happy were the de Sedelier family at Tin Lawn?
You have the coast and you have the mountains. So the type of landscape that he did was absolutely perfect for this area. And the fact that he created so many of them here, when you think he was prolific. So when you're prolific, it means you're usually enjoying yourself.
Bringing Belgian refugees to Wales is just one example of how the sisters helped out during the war. But in 1916, they did something truly incredible. Their biographer, Trevor Fishlock, explains.
They very badly wanted to go to the war. They were in their mid-30s and well off. They wanted to do something. Their cousin had been killed in the fighting. They were also French-speaking and they loved France. And so it was natural, in a way, that they should go to the French Red Cross and set up a canteen at Troyes, which is about 60 miles southeast of Paris.
Who was the canteen for?
The canteen was for the French soldiers coming through with their rifles and their blue uniforms, smoking their cigarettes, tramping their way through, pausing for the coffee and the soup and the snacks that the sisters and their helpers provided. Yeah, this was a canteen des dames anglaises.
Up to mighty London came an Irishman one day. As the three
they also loved not only the sisters' coffee, but the music on the old gramophone kept there. So they used to enjoy Tipperary.
What sort of conditions would they have lived in when they were running the canteen?
They stayed in hotel rooms and small lodging places. They would have worked long hours. And as Margaret has written, a great illustration of what their life was like, serving coffee, being a bit of a skivvy, and dealing with men who were often worn out by war and needed help.
The sisters were said to have been deeply moved by their experience in France. Back at Gwyddonog Hall, Mary Oldham told me the time they spent at their Red Cross canteen was eye-opening for them.
Their life in the war was quite extraordinary for them, for two very, very sheltered sisters. They'd been taken all over Europe by their governors, but this was real life in quite a different way, of course.
The generosity of the Davis sisters didn't end with the First World War. That was only the beginning. They went on to become patrons of the arts. They championed social, economic and cultural initiatives. And they are probably best known for the collection which surrounds me now at National Museum Wales in Cardiff. 260 works bequeathed to the nation, including paintings by Cézanne, Van Gogh, Monet. It's truly a collection to rival any in the world. And it's seen by hundreds of thousands of people every year because of the Davis sisters.